Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. My name is Sarah McDowell and I am honoured to be here today with very talented Mr. Andrew Duddock.
Hello, Sarah.
Andrew, you have written an amazing book that I loved reading. Thanks. Can you tell us a bit about your new book, One Step?
Yeah, One Step. So it's a story about a really normal boy, like just utterly normal 15-year-old boy called Dylan, who's just, And the title didn't come until much later, but I worked out from the title that he's one step from greatness, always one step from greatness and one step from oblivion, you know? So he's just treading that teenage line where you're just unsure of yourself and you think, God, if this works the right way, or if someone looks at me like this, and of course they're thinking that because I'm doing this, or I'm thinking that because they've definitely said this. So it's sort of it's a normal, confusing time for a normal...
That hyper awareness of teenager.
Yeah. And I don't know what you were like, but I mean, I know I had it. And we grew up in different, I think we had two teenage years in Melbourne, two teenage years in New Jersey, and then two more in the city of Melbourne. And it's sort of, you just sort of get things along the way, totally different experiences, but... You know, like everyone's the same.
Yeah.
But then you don't think anyone has a clue about what you're going through.
No, because they're all in their own heads. They're all thinking about their own experience.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's the thing with this guy is that it's all in his head, I remember being a teenager and something would happen, and you just go, but I'm still going to the party. You can see a dog get run over by a car and you go, but I'm still going to go out.
Because that's your priority.
because it's, you know.
I remember in the early ages of teenagehood, the big thing was whether or not you had been to a proper party, a real party, not just a couple of people hanging out at someone's house, but like a full-on party. And that was like the be-all and end-all. You were someone if you'd been to it, but if you hadn't yet, it was just like, well, you're no one.
and that's sort of what's going on for Dylan as well, you know, so he finally gets his chance. And by hook or by crook, he's going to go and
The book deals with a lot of serious issues, ranging from, particularly bullying.
Mm.
And I just wanted to talk to you about that, mainly because it seems to me I'm not the parent of a teenager, and it's been a while since I was a teenager, but it seems to me like bullying is just worse than it ever has been. But I don't know if that's necessarily true, and it's just maybe that we're talking about it more.
Yeah, I think we're definitely talking about it more. I think it's funny now. So people come out now and say, I think in the olden days, right, when I was a teenager, and I'm, pushing 50, that it was just something that happened. It was just normal, actually. It was just, you got a belting, or you saw someone else, and it was just one of those things.
Just part of growing up.
I think it was, I really think it was part of growing up, and at some point, and I think correctly, someone stood up and said, hang on a minute, this is not actually cool. You don't have the right to put me in a headlock and, wail on the top of my head for your own amusement. And so I think it's changed. I think perception of bullying has changed. I don't think the notion of bullying has changed so much.
What do you think it is about kids at that age where they have to be so cruel?
Power. Yeah. Making their mark in the world, I think. You've got to have something over... I don't know about what girls are like, but for boys, it's possibly about just being stronger than something else. So even the very... bottom of the food chain, I'm sure they still have power
over something,
because it's just about, it's your place of belonging and, and the totem pole. And I think this still holds true, is that, everyone really we want to climb the pole and, see what it looks like from up there and in the rarefied air with the, and maybe that's part of it.
And I found, parenting in this book to be an interesting, first of all, you've got kind of two different examples of parents. Dylan talks about his friend Brian's parents and how they're super open and talk about everything, and that's sort of different to Dylan's experience. I just wondered how much of your experience as a parent or stories that you've heard from other parents went into the book.
I think it's interesting. I think I would like to see our family more of, as Ryan's It's Dylan's best friend's family. So we're pretty chatty. We don't have television during the week at all. So we have dinner at the table every night, and we've got three kids, so there's five of us, and we, you know, like sometimes the kids will go, it's my turn to talk, right? I want to tell, and you go, hang on a second. So we've got a really good speaking culture.
Yeah.
Which we probably grew up with as well, but I remember we watched, you know, well, I mean, oh God, we watched a stack of television. I'm one of five kids. So there was less time for mum and dad to actually devote to any of us.
Yeah.
We got our share, but you know, so I think in part that's, I think that's a nice family way of communication, because still the most important thing that we've got is us as people, not our electronic world friends. Like I just, just drives me.
Well, Dylan, the main character in your book, he doesn't have Facebook. I thought that was cool. Because, you know, in the young adult genre, bullying is often a topic that comes up and is dealt with. But increasingly, the emphasis is on cyberbullying. It was present here, but it was more the face-to-face bullying.
Yeah, well, that might be a flaw in my writing ability, because it was just too hard. It's too big. It's too big a thing to deal with what I was trying to deal with, and to deal with cyberbullying as well.
Yeah.
So it just sort of seemed easier to go, oh, well, I'll just take that notion out of play.
I assumed that it was a conscious choice, because it really does bring it's definitely
a conscious choice, but it means you can look at one aspect of it instead of going, so this happened at school, and then he turned on his computer, and then it's big, which sort of almost gets sort of long and confusing, and
it's coming at you from too many different sides. Yeah. But it was definitely present, because and I've forgotten the character's name, but there is a girl in the book. It's funny, but it's also so sad.
Yeah, it's funny. I think it is funny because it's all self-absorbed, and so I think that's the part of the. I still think it's a funny book.
It is a funny book. There's some really funny things in it.
And some great shit staring things in it that teenagers do. And, you know, one of my favourite things is when they're at the assembly and the teacher, you know, there's been an incident and the headmaster stands up and says, you know, I want you all to, you know, we should stand up and we should do this. We should stand up for the week. We should stand up. And then some smart ass stands up and he's like, sit down. He goes, but I'm standing up for the, which is what, you know, there's always some kid in year 9 or year 10 who'll stand there and you just go, oh, you legend. and this turns everything back on. So there's that great stirring Australian aspect to it.
No, but definitely. Then, and Dylan himself is quite funny.
Yeah, like, you know.
In his little inner monologues and stuff, like the way he handles things as well.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, yeah.
He lands in some pretty awkward situations.
Some awkward spots, and he gets put in awkward spots and awkward learning spots as well. You know, even by his mum, which she teaches him a lesson about, you know, going to the park with his sister and returning from the park with his sister. And chooses a really weird way to
effective,
which is the sort of thing I would probably do as a parent.
Yeah,
and it's like that Japanese family, and they said to their kid, you know, if you don't keep up, we're just going to keep walking. This is a couple of months ago, so they kept walking. Yeah, and the kid was lost, and he was lost for 5 days in the bush. And
well, that'll thank God he was.
So thank God he was okay, but it's just one of those. You know, as a parent, sometimes you make some really goofy choices as to how you will get your message across, and that's sort of what the parents, that's what all parents are like. We all do it all the time. It's just, we don't get caught for it all the time. You know?
And this book shows you everything from the kids' perspective. Yeah. I think it's really important in young adult fiction as well that the parents be present characters. You know. Not always the case. Sometimes the story is all about the kids and the families are just sort of cardboard cutouts, but here you get a really strong sense of this family and what they're going through and what the parents are going through, and the mother in particular is a really lovable character and quirky. Sadly oblivious of what her son is going through, it seems.
Because she just gets wound up in her own. There's maybe three or four occasions when he could, and he tries to let the cat out of the, just explain how he's feeling. Just, you know, I can finally say what I want to.
Yeah, he's just on the brink.
Yeah, he's there and he's ready. And he's, oh, just two more breaths. One more breath and it'll all be. And then the mother will say.
And then the moment's gone. Yeah.
And it's gone from him. So his
so much the feeling of this book as well. The whole book is really about moments and decisions. And there's such a strong feeling of tension the whole way through as you try and figure out which way this is going to go.
Yeah. I knew where it was going the whole time, but then there was other just complete surprise moments where you're writing and then, you know, sometimes a word will just appear on the screen and you'll go, oh, where'd that come from? Oh, that's interesting. So you'll go, so I was surprised by a lot of what happened in there, and I'd marked a few points, but there was definitely a trajectory for Dylan and his family, but I was surprised how we actually got to some of those spots. Which is just the writing process, you know.
Yeah, so you had a broad plan, but then your journey there was a bit
unexpected. Yeah, and because the whole point of it was for young men particularly, and maybe for them parents as well, to know that when everything's at its worst, it's just probably really not that bad, but we get so absorbed in our own place in the world, and I mean, it's sounding all pretty ethereal, but
no. But I know what you mean. You get so caught up in the moment, sometimes you can't step back and see that this
and,
is just
And if you can just get yourself through the night time, the morning will bring a new clarity. But it's not nearly. I mean, the amount of times he goes, "Oh, can't go to school because," you know, and we've all been through it.
Yeah,
you know, and it's everything from a pimple. This is in real life, from a pimple to a potential bully to a girl who says the wrong thing or a girl that you can't say the right thing to.
Yeah.
And they're all moments to stop you living your life when really they're just...
They're
nothing.
That important. They just seem important at the time.
Yeah. And so that's sort of the point of the book is so for kids to read something and read this and go, God, it's not just me. Like, I'm not the only doofus. You know?
I wanted to ask you a bit, because this is, I know you've written a lot of children's books, but this is your first young adult fiction title.
Yeah.
What was it that drew you to the genre? Was it just that you really wanted to tell this story in
particular? It took me 7 years to start writing it, because anyone I talked to about it, I said, oh, look, I want to do this, I've got this idea for a story, and they go, nah, don't write that. No.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone from...
I can't imagine a way of pitching this book that wouldn't get a positive response.
No, I said, well, it was pretty straightforward. And I said, look, here's what I want to do. And they go, no, don't do that. No, you don't do that. Your picture books are beautiful. You know, your bedtime stories are...
that's not what you do.
Yeah, and then also, like... yeah, no, and quite a few, when I've told the actual idea, they go, no one will read it. No one likes those sorts of stories. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't even say no one likes those sorts of stories, because it's a good story.
Yeah.
And it's an honest story, and it's a very real story. But it's just, you know, as you get further through it and it becomes more and more uncomfortable, I suppose that's what they don't necessarily like. And then what happened when that got me thinking about it was that a friend of ours, their neighbour's son came home from school one day, one of five boys, got home from school, went to the fridge, got something to eat, went up to his bedroom and just made a catastrophic mistake. A very, very normal kid. And the thought of it, it's just, I find utterly tragic. And that's sort of the point, is that every kid goes through things where they've had something bad happen. But if they can see that someone else is also having bad things happen and they can deal with it, then maybe they can rethink
their bad decisions. You can just turn on a dime, like,
yeah.
There's a, without wanting to, in a spoiler-free way of saying this, there's a moment in this book where Dylan has a decision, and just in a heartbeat, you know, it changes.
Mm.
And for those sort of little heartbeat moments that are so fleeting and so powerfully important to have such dramatic effect.
Yeah.
And it's not just for kids, it's
for all anyone, of us. But yeah.
Particularly when people are this age where all of their emotions are so heightened. I just I'm getting a little bit emotional talking about it, because it really does, it packs a powerful punch, this book. I wondered Were there any books like this that affected you when you were a teenager that you were inspired by or touched by?
There's one, which is the first book that got me reading, was That Was Then, This Is Now. So it's an American coming-of-age book, and I've read it since. I gave it to my son, actually, and said, here, this is the book that got me reading.
Yeah.
But it's about these kids, these two best friends, and they're hustlers in a pool hall, and there's alcohol, I think there's drugs, and all these things that were not in any way part of my life. I mean, I think I was in grade 6 or year 7 when I read it. Mm. But it was about, so I've got an identical twin brother, and we just were slowly separating and finding new friends, and I suppose that's what the book was sort of about. And this is about, you know, he's got his best friend and they move, I don't know, another 800 metres apart or something, and suddenly, you know, that Sydney separation road between them is just enough distance to really separate them and sort of make them sort of find new avenues, so, yeah. Which is what happens
throughout life,
All the time, you know. Oh my God, we're going to be best friends forever. This is, you know, and then you sort of turn around a year later when you get married. You know, that's the classic. You look around, you look at your wedding photo 10 years on, and go, like, who's that? What are they doing there? I don't even know that person. So, you know, and so that's the whole thing. So it's just a matter of, I suppose, if you can just quickly reassess those important moments to make sure you can get, you know, the most or not the least out of them.
Now, the way that this book ends, and it's a really beautiful ending, but there's argument there that this story is not over. Do you think that you will maybe revisit Dylan's story?
I think I would like, I mean, I might have to in the same way that I sort of felt I had to write this story. Mm. I think there's good reason to continue on with it for a few different reasons. One, for his own health, you know, welfare.
Yeah.
And then also to just sort of sort aspects of the story that could easily have been sorted. to round the story out. But then conscious of not finishing stories, even with the younger kids' books, I don't try and finish the story and go, okay, here's the nice, neat ending.
I'm a fan of the ambiguous ending, and I think it's done really beautifully here, but that is not to say that I wouldn't gobble up another book about that.
I think there's something, I mean, there's definitely something in it, and when I finished, I just went, oh my God,
there's more,
and there really is more, but then, look, the more is difficult for other reasons, because so like my twin brother, when he was 18, was hit by a car and got a head injury, and so there's that whole recuperation business.
Yeah.
And to have to visit any aspect of that
would be really hard.
Would be. But that might be good as well. You know.
Wow.
Given I won't go and see a therapist about
those painful emotions.
Yeah.
Well, I think Dylan's a great character.
Oh, thanks.
Particularly for young boys, because you know, there just aren't that many books written for young boys. There are plenty, don't get me wrong, but it feels like maybe there could be more.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really great one, and for girls as well, because, you know, boys are so mysterious to you at that age.
Oh yeah.
And this feels like such a really honest, sort of raw glimpse into what's going on there.
Yeah, and girls are a mystery for boys. I mean, like, one of the favourite things to write, and this is, it's not a spoiler, was he's at the park and he's talking to, you know, that girl, and she sort of, you know, she stops and then there's just the two of them, and sort of stands up a bit straighter and leans forward and puts her head a bit forward like this and goes to, you know, puckers up, and he goes to pucker with her to kiss her, and he can't believe that it's all happened so perfectly. He never imagined it would be like this. And she says, well... and you know,
it's such a great moment.
Yeah, I just go, that's what I'm doing. It's gone. I mean, it's cruel, but then, so I talk in schools and I tell the school kids, and you say, so I tried to find the word that formed a pucker so she could be looking like she's going to kiss him. And you see all these kids sitting there going, well, and they all pucker up like this. And it was so, and like,
it was a great moment.
Like, I know for a fact that kids and teenagers read things and go, oh yeah, wow, right, that's, you know, and they'll, if you can get it on the page the right way, they'll sort of act out those things. And
yeah, for sure.
So it's, and for that sense, it's great fun to write.
I was really impressed by how perfectly you captured that time in life as well, because it really, there was a moment where, so Dylan has bad acne on his neck and you know, it's uncomfortable for him and he's a bit obsessed about it and worried about it all the time. And there's one point where he's like touching the back of his neck and then a girl asks him what's wrong with his neck and he's like, oh, I've got a sore neck. Then later he's like, this is the thing that I just remember from being like a hyper aware self-obsessed teenager. He sees the same girl talking to someone and imagines that maybe she's telling people about his sore neck. Like, she wouldn't have been, because why would she? But like,
no.
That's just that kind of age, you know, and
yeah.
If you're in it, I think that it would be great to read
someone
else who's it. And if you're out of it, it's just an amazing
It's a good reminder.
To remind you what it's like.
Yeah, and there's a really fantastic, well, listen to me, thing where the mum's talking to him about some private boys sort of business. You know, and I was telling someone about it, and they went, what are you doing? Why would they do that? Because it's a story, and it's funny.
It is very funny, actually.
And I go, it's not funny. And I go, well, I mean, I wrote it, you know.
It's not funny for Dylan.
it's hilarious.
It's very funny to read, yeah.
So, you know, so I think that the whole thing is that I know with my kids, you know, I'll say something, and they go, Dad. And what I'm saying, I think, makes perfect sense. You know, like, it's a highly rational, reasonable thing to say. Dad!
Not from their perspective.
No. So you have to understand their perspective. Mm. And if you can, I'm guessing most of the time. So, yeah. Well, look, I really appreciate that you read it and enjoyed it. And
oh, well, I'm so glad that you read it and that it's out.
Great.
Oh, well, not quite yet. It's out soon.
Yeah.
Andrew, thank you so much for coming in. It's great. Been so great to talk to you. And podcast listeners, One Step by Andrew Dado is available to purchase at your local bookstore or online at Booktopia.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.